Ngifuna lo, my first guest is already on standby. Let's get into it. It's Tech Africa, and we're going to begin our show today just looking specifically at food security and role of artificial intelligence. But what does artificial intelligence mean for Africa's food system? Can it help us build a more just, sustainable, and nutritious food future, or will it reinforce existing inequalities? As global conversations around AI continues to evolve, the 2025 Food in Durban invites the public into a pivotal discussion, AI and the food system. And that's going to be from the 7th to the 20th of July, over 20 events across Cape Town, and we'll explore how AI can reshape everything from food access and agriculture data to nutrition, education, and culinary innovation. I have my guest on the line, and I'm going to be talking now to CEO of the South African Event Food and Farming Trust. It's Kurt Ackerman. Kurt, how are you?
I'm very well, Puleng. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you so much for sparing a few minutes of your time this morning to talk to us on Tech Africa.
My pleasure.
I want to begin by looking at Africa's invisible in global AI model. There's also less than 5% of AI training data that pertains to Africa, and less than 3% of that originates from the continent itself. What does this mean for how AI understands African food system?
Yeah, it's a really important question, and thank you for making time to discuss this. You know, AI is busy shaping and reshaping so much of the world around us, and, you know, all of us eat. And so something like the food system affects everyone on the planet. And when you've got these powerful systems that are guiding our understanding, our decisions, and our choices, if they don't have information that accurately reflects our context in Africa, then they're going to give us guidance and an understanding that is going to be off the mark. So, for example, you know, in Africa, we've got this rising demographic dividend. We've got large youthful population that's growing. We have another billion Africans or so that will be born over the next 30 or so years. It's really our moment in terms of the demographics, and the rest of the world is not having that experience. And so when you talk about how to deal with youth issues, how to deal with employment, how to deal with innovation and opportunities, those issues are not reflected in the AI models. And in addition to that, things like languages, if you've ever played with one of these image generation AIs, ask it to generate an image of unka. Like, you know, what is it going to show? Is it going to show a pizza? And so we are absent. Our issues, our knowledge, our data, and so AI is shaping the world completely uninformed by Africa, and specifically Africans.
How come, though? Because you would think that we are all global citizens now. Everything that happens in real time, we can all access at that time. And, you know, I know AI is constantly evolving. Is it lack of resources in Africa specifically?
So it's a really important question to differentiate the data that is being used to train these AIs. And that's where Africa is absent versus Africans using the tools. And we are very much at the leading edge of a lot of AI development. So in the Food in Durban, we're going to have the WITS Machine Intelligence and Neurodiscovery Institute, MIND. We've got the Global Center on AI Governance. We've got our National Center of Excellence in Food Security's Innovation Lab, Data Science for Social Impact. I mean, Africans, there's the Deep Learning in Durban, which is Pan-African. Africans are at the leading edge of the use of these tools. But the underlying data that informs the tools is very much missing African information and data. And that's because so much of the internet and these digital repositories are coming from the global north. They're in English and other mainstream kind of global languages. And the diversity of African knowledge and data is just not being fed into these systems.
Okay. That's quite clear there, because I was thinking, you know, I mean, we have quite a good access to the recent tools, but I can understand what you mean. It's the collection of data, so it actually clarifies a lot there. I just
And
want to
we've
look.
got incredible, sorry, we've got incredible entrepreneurs, for example, who are developing whole business models using AI. I mean, there is no shortage of kind of hustle and innovation and creativity in the way that Africans are using AI. But what we want to make sure is that we understand the extent to which, as these tools, as we're using them, are they reinforcing the current power structures? You know, we've got a pretty bad deal from the current food system. There's a lot of food insecurity. There's a lot of corporate consolidation, which leads to kind of practices that are harmful for the environment and for people. And are we using tools that just keep reinforcing a bad system? Or are we using them in a way that helps us break down the problems with that system in a way that's good for us? And I think that's really what's at stake here.
Now, Kurt, I want us to look at tools for small-scale farmers. How can AI-driven insights then help urban and rural farmers increase yields, reduce waste, and be able to improve sustainability?
So there's a real tension with AI here. You know, a lot of people think with AI in the food system, some of their first ideas go to like drones and remote imaging flying over farmland and robots driving tractors and things like that. And that is some of what is envisioned for AI in the food system, but it's a lot more mundane stuff than that. It's helping farmers have the use of, for example, detailed weather data so they can use their resources more effectively and not necessarily irrigate all of their crops, but maybe just certain sections that need it. They use less energy, less water, fewer inputs. They have better overall yield. So it's helping very intelligent farmers have a leg up because they've also got an AI tool that's helping them gain insight into things. And it could be as simple as pricing. You know, if they harvest a couple of days later, they might be able to get a better price for whatever reason. And that is important for smallholder farmers because they need every advantage they can get. But there's also a tension with this because if we are helping farmers increase yields, then we have more overall food to go around, but it drives the price down for the farmers too. And what that means is farmers are more vulnerable as business people. So we've got to navigate this tension. Our problem, particularly in South Africa, is not that we don't have enough food. We've got enough food as a country. The problem is inequality. And so our access to food and the affordability of that food is the problem. And so this is part of why an African informed AI is so important because our issues are different from what's happening in the rest of the world, and we could focus on growing more mealies, for example. And all that does is make the mealie farmers go out of business because they no longer get a price that can sustain them. And it doesn't have any effect on our nutrition and food security. So these are the discussions we're going to be having, and it's a tangled knot, but you know, AI is poised to reshape so much of our economy and so much of our society, and we can't afford to be passive, and we have very good leaders who are kind of shaping this. And what's the opportunity with the Food Indaba is to help, you know, ordinary people. I mean, I'm no expert in AI. I'm learning along the way, and part of this event is to help educate all of us. And so we've got events and opportunities for people who don't want to go as deep as we've been talking, but still want to have some sense of kind of how is AI changing the world in ways I hadn't expected. And how is that going to affect me and my family? We've got a kids program with a science center, for example. And that's a great way for kids and parents to have really a fun way of engaging with this. Because AI is not all about scary stuff. It's also about opportunity.
You know what you said earlier about there's plenty of food and it's just having access to that. And that is quite a statement that actually resonates. I think it's not just with me, but with most South Africans. But even if we open it further to Africans as well. So I just don't know, Kate, what then are you going to do to kind of then, because these people that are owning the data or the biggest tools like OpenAI tools that we're using, they're not here. And I sometimes feel they really don't care about Africa. You know, they don't design it with Africa in mind.
So this is an important set of questions. We've got all the big players from IBM and Microsoft and Google and OpenAI, and there are others backed by the typical tech billionaires, and they're from the global north, and they already have a lot of power in the system. But we also saw coming out of China this incredible kind of renegade AI called DeepSeek that was done almost as a side project by this other company. And DeepSeek is available for free download. It's open source, and you can train your own AI. Now, that's very expensive and difficult to do, but there is a democratization of this technology that is one of the things that we will be wrestling with. Is the approach to try and feed a lot of African data into the existing systems, or is the approach to develop an African trained AI sort of our own, in inverted commas? And what's the tension between those two? What are the right models? How do we, is it an either or? Do we do both? Helping, open AI understand African languages, African indigenous knowledge, approaches, our context, etc. And at the same time, having AI models that are emerging out of Africa, shaped by Africans, completely formed for African purposes. And I suspect we need to do both. Things are moving so quickly, we can't just pick one. We've got to kind of move with the wave, but we can't be passive and just let what's happening happen. And I think you're right. We are being ignored because it's not important to their business model.
Definitely. Okay, so the event is going to be for a couple of days, from the 7th to the 20th. That's quite a lengthy period there. Is there a one ticket for all of them, or this, each day will be, maybe tickets will be sold separately?
So it's a bit of both. We have different clusters of events, and if you will go to the foodindaba.org website, the links to all the different kind of ticketing options are there. We have clustered some of the activities for people who are either working in AI or working in the food system during the kind of working week, because this forms part of their job, and they could take time on a Wednesday or a Thursday to participate in something. And then on the weekends, we have things that are more for the general public. We're not just talking about food. We're not just talking about AI in the food system. We're also cooking and eating. We're having fun. We're celebrating food. We've got an arts program. So some things are free. And the different ticketing packages are there on the website. And there are early bird ticket options. I mean, we all like to know that people will come and join our events. And so we're giving an incentive for people to commit a bit early, to be there on the day.
All right. And what's your website?
It is foodindaba.org, O-R-G. And over those 20 days, there are, as I said, free events. There's a conference, there's a virtual event that's free that's happening. It's a Pan-African discussion on AI and the food system on the 9th of July. We've got kids programs. We've got teens and seniors working together in a workshop on intergenerational food, and just a whole lot of fun. So I would encourage everyone to have a look, and join us when and as they can.
I want to come for the serious ones when we are talking about training AI. That's a, let me be
Please
specific
do.
in that way. Which day would that be?
So there's a conference on the 18th of July. It's an all-day conference at Maker's Landing at the V&A Waterfront. And in the day before that, we are also going to be doing a workshop for food systems entrepreneurs on AI and business opportunity. And so, there are a couple of things happening that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So if you'll be available, there's a cluster of events happening then. And if you're going to pick one for the deep dive, it is definitely going to be on the 18th
The
of July.
18th. All right. No, definitely that would be quite interesting to absorb, because I mean I also just discovered a few days ago, was it 2 weeks, that ChatGPT can actually chat in some Vedic languages. So that was a good step in the right direction. And it's quite accurate, well, in my mother tongue. I don't know about other languages. So that I was very impressed by that. Very, very impressed. So I'm very curious about training AI and influencing data. So that one is definitely one that I personally look forward to.
Great. We'd love to see you there. And I think we've all got a lot to learn. And this is one of the things we're bringing some of the leading thinkers in this space. But it's moving so quickly that we all, no one person can keep up with all of it. So kind of figuring out how we approach these challenges and think about them in some sort of collective way, not that we all do the same thing, but that we've shared our views and we're not working at cross purposes, I think is really important. And the pace at which this is happening is crazy. The time is now to really try to understand it as deeply as we can.
All right, great. Thank you so much once again for telling us about the event. I think it's actually one that I don't know, is it annual or it's
It
something
is.
that you
It
are
is.
yes.
Last year, we were focused on the hunger and power. So we were looking at the use of hunger as a political tool in areas of armed conflict and in ostensibly peaceful democratic societies like South Africa, where we tolerate high levels of food insecurity and infant stunting. So we're not afraid to take on some of these challenging issues, but we also do have fun, and we have walking tours and arts and kids stuff and cooking and eating. So this year, it's the focus on AI and the food system, and we hope that everyone will join us. It's not only the heavy stuff. And if not, then next year we'll be here every July, 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you once again. Have a fantastic
Thanks
Sunday.
for letting you too.
Right, that's
Cheers.
my guest this morning, Kurt Ackerman, who is CEO for the South African Urban Food and Farming Trust, bringing us to 9:30 Central African Time. The event is taking place in Cape Town, so if you're planning to make a turn and you wanted to immerse yourself in the latest developments in tech and you're passionate perhaps about food security, go in there. I now have secured a day that I know that I would be most interested in. But if you're a parent and looking to take your kids out for a day where they can do something fun and learn at the same time, they will also be having cooking classes as well as chemistry classes as well, but in a fun way. All right, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we'll look at Millie, the GoFund. It's a crowdfunding app.
Hey there, this is Palesa Tau, part of the dynamic duo that gives you on the